funny how it happened. I was on 8094 and just got off of Klein Avenue, and I was, you know, just flowing with traffic, and I had my window down. It was nice out, and I hear this thing thump, 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 but I didn't really recognize it as a flat tire because I didn't really hear anything, you know, grinding on the road. I looked down, and in these newer type cars, they got these they got your tire pressure in there and on the dashboard, and it says 4 pounds. So I said, oh man, I got a little bit of time left. So I took off, and I got off on Grant Street, and I'm looking for a gas station. There's not a gas station, you know, 2 miles down the road. By the time I got there, the tire was ruined. But anyway, we'll go ahead and pray. What we're going to do is we're going to still go through the book of Matthew. I think we're in chapter 3, and I think we ended up in verse 5 or 6. But we'll just continue there and keep continuing through the book of Matthew until it's done, or until, you know, the Lord takes us home, or until whatever. But when it's my turn to do this, we'll just keep going through the book of Matthew, and that'll make it easy for everybody and easy for me. Not so easy, but anyway, we'll go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everybody that came, Lord, and Lord, we pray that you know, we would hear from you, and you would show us some things out of your words, and a lot of it's just going to be repeated, Lord, but we need the repeated stuff, Lord, and we're tempted to err, and if we don't hear the things over and over again, Lord, we're tempted to stray from them, and we pray that you'd open our eyes and hearts to your words and our ears, Lord. For Christ's sake, we pray, amen. Okay, so the last time we were going through chapter 3 here, we were talking about John the Baptist and how he's not the founder of the Baptist Church, and it's out there. There's a lot of Baptists out there that think that's the case, Southern Baptists and whatnot. And so we went through some of that stuff and went through some of the things on John's baptism and how it can't be related to the baptism of the church. But we'll go ahead and start off in verse 5. I'll just read 1 through 5 real quick. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's the context of this chapter, and the basic context of the whole book of Matthew is the kingdom of heaven here. But he says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. We went through some things last week. What he wore, what the Old Testament prophets wore, and what the Old Testament priests wore. And, you know, I made a statement last week. I think I said something that until John and the prophets, let me look at this. Yeah, the law and the prophets until John. I think I made a statement that tells me that there's no other prophets. But then the Lord really hit me on that one throughout the week and throughout the last couple weeks. And I was thinking about it, and I started doing some studying, and that's not the case. There are prophets in the New Testament church because the Lord gave them to the church. So that statement was a false statement, and I needed to get that one taken care of. But we'll go through it later, and I'll show you the verses. And there's some prophets that were talking to Paul in Acts, telling him not to go to Jerusalem, and whatnot, and he didn't listen to him. He went down there and he got bound just like the prophet said he would. So before we go any further, I just want to get that out, and then we'll go through some of the verses a little later. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, you don't find this being done in the churches that say that John is the founder of the New Testament church. When they're baptizing out there, these people aren't confessing their sins out in front of the public before they're baptized. And if you study your Bible, the truth will make you free. You don't have to stay in bondage to man's traditions. And that's a tradition of man, if he's doing that up there. Or if he's saying that John the Baptist is the founder of the New Testament church. We know that's not true. Jesus Christ is the founder of the New Testament church. And so you encourage people that come into a church, if they're not saved, in order for you to study your Bible effectively, you got to get saved, and the Lord starts showing you some things. The only thing the baptism we do and John did have in common is the immersement in the water. John is baptizing, he's baptizing those that are in submission to his preaching. When he says repent, and he means, hey, I want to know. You need to start confessing what you're doing wrong. I don't want you just to come over here and say, "Well, John, I've been." No, I want to know. They're confessing. Repent. Hey, you're not keeping. This is what he's saying. When he says repent, you're not keeping the agreement that you agreed to God. You agreed to God to keep certain agreements in the Old Testament, and you're not keeping those. You need to get rid of the idols. You need to put God first and your fellow man second. And that's how the Ten Commandments are laid out. God first and the fellow man second. And get it right. That's what he's saying. He's saying you got to get it right. Why do they need to get it right? They're not dwelling in the land safely. They're not dwelling in the land peaceably. There's sickness. There's death. There's plagues. All over Jerusalem, all over the nation. They're in a mess. And so John comes on the scene and says, repent. Now go with me, if you would, to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. I'm sorry, Leviticus 26. Start out in verse 3. He says, we'll start out in verse 1. Ye shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. 26. Did I say 26? Okay. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. Now notice, folks, what this has to pertain to. It's pertaining to the benefit of Israel in the land. What they're doing here, the law keeping. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. That's what they do when they sieve, when they run something through a sieve or they sift. Shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. Meaning, hey, your corn's going to last all the way through, and then some, because you'll see later that it'll go then some. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. They're dwelling in the land safely. That's what they're going to receive if they keep those laws that Moses brought down from the mountain. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish you, and establish my covenant with you, and ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright. Now look at what the other side of that aspect is. If they don't do this, if they don't obey what God has told them to keep in the law, if they don't obey the Sabbaths, if they don't put God first, if they don't, if they're not good to their fellow man, if they don't, if they start coveting after their neighbor's wives, if they start stealing from their neighbor, if they start bearing false witness, this is what's going to happen. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. These commandments are directed towards a nation. It's a national salvation. It's not a personal salvation. And that's why in Hebrews 11 you have people of the faith there. That's why you have people of the faith. And they're Old Testament. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning... What is that, argue? Ague? Learn something new. That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. It has to do with the land. It has to do with dwelling in the land safely. The enemies are overtaking them now. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth. If ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Hey, the Jew came into the promised land. They were promised that land. The land was supposed to be flowing with milk and honey. They have to keep these commandments in order to keep that statute or that stature in the land. It has nothing to do with the salvation of a soul here. It's the salvation of a people as a nation. Dwelling in a land safely, dwelling in a land with increase and the benefits of keeping God's commandments. It was a physical benefit, not a spiritual one. And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. 777. And I will bring a sword upon you, and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Something. It's for not keeping the law. This is the Jews being punished as a nation. And on and on and on and on and on and go, on we go. We'll just keep reading. I have it down to read the till 46, so bear with me. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, Then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chastise you seven times for your sins. And keeps going and going and going. If they shall confess their iniquity, verse 40, if they shall confess their iniquity and iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcision hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. There's the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob covenant, Abrahamic covenant, and to their seed. And I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. That's for not keeping the Sabbaths of the land. The land's going to be desolate. Hey, the Lord's going to exact his Sabbaths out of that land. That's why the land's not yielding. Because the Jew didn't keep the Sabbath. If the Jew would have kept the Sabbath of the land, the one-year rest, the nutrition would have been replenished into the land, and the land would have then increased for Israel. But because they didn't, time and time and time again, no rest, no rest, no rest, the land becomes barren. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. Hey, Israel can break their covenant with God, but thanks be to God, he doesn't break his covenant with them. And thanks be to God, he doesn't break his covenant with us when we go astray. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel, watch this, in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Brother Mike here was out at the house, and he brought this verse up to me, and I was kind of looking for this verse, and I couldn't find it. The words just weren't coming to me, and he brought it right up, so I had to put it in here. It was about 3 weeks ago. 2 Chronicles 7:14. So it's funny how the Lord will bring you a word. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That's seven. That number seven is all throughout the Bible. He loves that number. Yep. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Look, it's humble and seek my face first. Seek God first. And then turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And we'll brush on this a little bit more as we go. But you see, the Jew keeping the commandments has nothing to do with the personal salvation. It's a national thing. It's being alive in the land. It's living in the land with the benefits that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not for personal salvation, but the salvation of the nation from the sickness, from the pestilence, from their enemies. John is preaching and baptizing to the Jew to bring them in line to receive the Messianic kingdom and the promises given in the law, which they cannot receive unless they're keeping the law. They can't receive them. That's why he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. God wants to bring the kingdom in. But you guys you have to get it right. You have to make his path straight. He's not going to bring it in unless you get these things right. Look at Malachi 4. Malachi 4, a It's the last chapter in the Old Testament here, as written in the Bible's Old Testament. It says, Malachi 4:4, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant." Moses was a prophet. He's a servant of God. "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Remember ye the law of my servant." That's what he's telling Israel right before he doesn't speak to him for 400 more years. Now imagine here. John is out. Go back to Matthew 3. And we're baptized, verse 6, "and we're baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So if you imagine John in the wilderness, this is pretty interesting. And he's out there. And you're wondering how these people knew to come out there. How these people knew to come see John. And he's probably out there in the wilderness. If you can imagine him out there, and every Jew that comes his way, he's right in the area where the Jews are at. And he's preaching at them, "Repent, repent, and be baptized for the remission of sins." And every Jew that crosses paths, he's saying that to. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you got to know that these people ran back into their towns, because look at this. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan." You got to imagine these people running back to the town and saying, "Hey, you got to see this guy. And we haven't seen a guy like this for, and we've heard about him. We've heard about these guys dressed in camel's hair and stuff and eating weird things and just rough characters, not enjoying any luxuries of life. We heard about him, but we haven't seen one, but we heard about him. It's been 400 years since somebody saw one like this guy. You got to come out here and see this guy." And he's standing out there by the Jordan River, and he's telling all these Jews to repent, and he's preaching at us, telling us to repent and be baptized. We never heard nothing like this. You got to come see this guy. And so these Jews. You got to imagine this now, because it's not there, but you got to kind of imagine it. "Hey, where's this John at? Where do we go see him at?" "Hey, he's right over there by where they passed over the Jordan River, where Joshua brought Israel over into the Promised Land. That's where he's at. He's just in that area right there." And they all knew where it is. I'm sure they took field trips and did some history in school and learned all about that stuff. And so then all of a sudden you see swarms of people coming to John the Baptist out there in the wilderness, and he's saying to them, he's preaching, "Hey, are you ready for the kingdom to come in? Hey, when's the last time you put God first?" Can you imagine that? These people are getting struck to the heart. He's coming right out and pointing out to them. "Hey, do you love God? Are you obeying Him? How's your relationship with your neighbor?" Imagine that. "Hey, are you coveting after his wife? Are you lying about him? You lying about your neighbor, bearing false witness? How about the idol situation? Be taking care of that idol situation? Are you remembering the Sabbath?" I say Sabbath. Sabbath? It's Sabbath. And so he says to these Jews, "Hey, you better quit listening to these Jewish, these religious leaders you have. They're taking you down the path. They don't even know where they're going, and they're taking you right with them. The blind leading the blind, and you both are going to fall into the ditch. You better quit listening to them. You better stop following their traditions. Start submitting yourself to the law. That's what you need to do. John didn't preach, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't even know who he was yet. He preached, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And so they start to line up one by one, and John's out in that river. And they're coming up to him, and they're saying, hey, John, I haven't been keeping the law. I haven't been obeying God. I haven't put him first. I haven't done anything for him. I haven't been living like I should. I've been lying and stealing, coveting after my neighbor. And so John says to him, wait, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about this? He says, well, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. So he baptized him. He says, all right. One by one, they confess their sins. And can you just imagine the next guy that's got to say something to him? And he says, hey, you better straighten up. You better straighten up. He says, you better straighten up. For I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so one by one, and John sends them on their way to get their wrongs right after they confess. And now, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now just imagine these group of people coming over there with their long robes. I'm sure he spotted them out right away with their nice attire on, and they're probably grouped up, one over here and one over here, and they're all standing there all with a proud look on their face, with a pious look, thinking they're going to give John the approval for doing this. we're okay with this, John. You just go right ahead and do it. And John looks up and sees them, hey, you bunch of vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They're not rebuking him. Hey, John probably get up out of that water and body slam him. They'd start rebuking him like they rebuked Jesus. Hey, this guy was a rough character. Hey, it's funny. The first guy that comes is rough. The second guy that comes is meek. And they don't choose either one of them. And yet they complain about it. In both situations. That's a hypocrite. And he goes, hey, who hath warned you from the wrath to come? And they're scratching their heads. And he goes, yeah, what about Ezekiel to Malachi? What about all these prophets that came to you, warning you to get right, to start feeding the nation of Israel that you're supposed to be feeding, but you're keeping it all for yourself, not giving them anything, not even a morsel, and they're starving to death. Spiritually, they're starving to death. They got no word. And we'll see what effects that not having word has on that nation. But you know what? When God was feeding the nation of Israel in the desert, what did the nation do? What did the people do? They wanted the leeks from Egypt, the onions. And so God gives a nation the people that they want and the people that they deserve. He sends them prophets, and then he sends the prophets to the leaders so that the leaders don't have any excuses. You never told me. How did we know we were doing? Hey, if it's not broken, if nobody tells us it's broken, how can we fix it? We get that out on a job site sometimes. The guy will be doing something wrong for like 2 weeks long. And somebody will say, hey, you know you're doing this wrong? He goes, well, I don't know if it's broken if nobody tells me. But that's what a leader does. If he doesn't get the warning, He'll say, hey, nobody told me. I thought I was doing something right. And God sends him the prophets and says, you got no excuses now. Remember all those prophets your group killed in the Old Testament? Well, I'm here to remind you, John says. I'm here to remind you who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. You've been warned. And John knows that the leaders, it's because of the leaders that God hasn't spoken to that nation in the last 400 years. Verse 8, he says to him, bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. You better start telling us what you're doing wrong here. You know what you're doing. You better start repenting. I'm looking for some fruit. If you don't have any fruit, get out of here. Bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. He says, you better start confessing how your traditions are making the Word of God an effect on these people. You got to get it right. You better start teaching these people the Bible instead of your ways. And you better start doing things God's ways. Verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Isn't this something? He knew what he was going to say when he wasn't going to have it. Now look at this. John won't even let him get the words out of their mouth. He says it right before they can even say anything. He says, don't even think about this. Go with me, if you would, to John. John 8:34. John 8:34. Jesus won't let him get away with this saying either. 8:33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Really? Hey, you got to go get permission to kill Jesus. Who's not in bondage? You got to go get permission from Pilate to kill somebody. What about the Babylonians? We were never in bondage to any man. What about Pharaoh? How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, ye do that which ye have seen with your father. That's something. And he's leading them right down the path, and he's going to tell them who his father is. Ye do the deeds of your father. Verse 21. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. One minute they're saying Father Abraham, next minute they're saying God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And on it goes. Verse 52, and then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. One minute they're lifting Abraham up, next minute they're saying he's dead. Next minute they're calling, saying that Jesus is a devil. These guys are all messed up. They go around in circles. Paul wouldn't put up with it either. Acts 13:26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. He's saying, hey, don't think that Abraham's going to save you. You need salvation. You need salvation from this word. So Paul didn't let him get away with it. Jesus didn't let him get away with it. And neither did John. John wouldn't even let him speak it. Now, I wonder if the Pharisees and Sadducees remember the 12 stones under the priest's feet. I don't know if you guys remember the story when Joshua was crossing, the priest stood out in the middle of the river. He had 12 stones they put for a memorial under the feet of those priests. Matthew. We're almost done here. For I say unto you, verse 9, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children under Abraham. He's saying, hey, you need to start thinking about God. He's the one that's going to increase you, not Abraham. Give glory to God. Quit putting Abraham first. The Jews had a tendency of doing that kind of stuff, putting man first in front of God. So John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He is summing up everything that the Old Testament prophets were preaching to these leaders. The law and the prophets were under John, Luke 16:16. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. Now the last time, like I said, I taught about this, he said that there were no more prophets. That was a foolish thing to say. Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This is after. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's another one, 1 Corinthians 12:18. And so the law and the prophets were until John. It must have to do with the nation of Israel to get them in a position for the kingdom. And then you have Jesus comes on the scene. Notice John didn't do any miracles. He didn't do any signs or wonders. All he did was preach and baptize. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and it seems like a new dispensation starts because he starts the miracles and the signs all up again. Kingdom of heaven. It's an earthly kingdom. It has to do with the nation of Israel dwelling in the land. And according to the passage in Leviticus 26, 1 through 46 that we read, it's conditioned about law keeping. That's why they work to maintain their salvation, because their salvation is physical there as a nation. And that's Jewish. It has nothing to do with the salvation of the soul. Jesus has everything to do with the salvation of the soul. Belief in the scriptures, belief in what God says, whatever he says at that time, it's on an individual basis. It's not on a national basis like the law. It's on an individual basis. That's why you have Moses and Noah and Rahab getting saved another way, and all throughout the scriptures, faith is what saves a person. Faith in what God says. The actual keeping of the commandments was a physical salvation for that Jew in the land. Paul says, I live by... He doesn't say, I live by my faith. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the faith that saves a soul is always in an individual basis, what a man does with God's words. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It has to do with individuals and is conditioned upon faith and the finished work of Christ. And that's church material. But it's also given to that Jew. Hey, he had to get his heart right. Seek ye first, he says in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All the what things? The physical things, dwelling in the land, the peace, and dwelling without sickness. Hey, Jesus is on earth. He's showing them. He's giving them a taste. Kingdom of heaven is here. It'll be here. It's coming in. and I'm going to give you a taste. There's not going to be sickness when I'm around. There's not going to be death when I'm around. There's not going to be any war when I'm around. There's peace here. Verse 10, Matthew 10. Got five more minutes. I'm trying to keep you awake. Verse 10, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. The axe is laid under the root of the trees. All throughout the Old Testament, God sent his servants, the prophets, under the Jewish leaders, because Israel was ready to bring forth fruit. And God wanted it brought forth. And if the prophets, or if the spiritual leaders would have listened to the prophets, they would have got some fruit out of Israel. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew. And I'm not going to go spend a lot of time here. Matthew 21. This is a parable. 33. Here, another parable. There was a certain householder, it's God the Father, which planteth a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen. The vineyard's Israel. And let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he's looking for fruit. He sent his servants to the husbandmen. Servants, they're the prophets. He sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, it's Jesus Christ, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that, and let us seize on his inheritance, Israel. They wanted Israel. They wanted the money. They wanted the prophets. They didn't want Jesus Christ to have any of it. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Would they take Jesus? They took him out of the camp. They said unto him, he will miserably... when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto them, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. That seems to be that those are going to be some of the saints and prophets in the tribulation that are going to get that fruit out of Israel that the Lord was looking for. The repentance. The getting their heart right. But he says, under the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Looks like that's individually. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. So it looks like it's an individual type deal there. He's not judging the whole nation there, it doesn't seem. It looks like he's just taking out the leaders there. And so he says, the axe is laid under the root. When the Lord comes to you, will he find fruit? Will he find fruit under the tree? And you can apply this today as a Christian. Hey, will he find fruit? If your root is Jesus Christ, and you've got the Holy Ghost inside you, he's going to want fruit to come out. There's the fruit of the Spirit. So will he find fruit? If Jesus Christ isn't the root, he's not going to find any fruit. He's not going to find any fruit. Do you know why there's no fruit on a tree in Israel? Jesus, remember the story, Jesus walks past a tree and he doesn't see anything on it. Then he walks past it again. I think he walks by it three times. He doesn't see fruit. He says, well, we'll dig it. They wanted to cut it down. He says, we'll dig around it, we'll dung it, and we'll We'll see if it bears fruit the following year. Three times. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 20. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is this fig tree withered away? You want to know what causes something to wither? Something not the fruit? Hey, you don't get any rain, you don't get any fruit. No rain, no fruit, or very little. And you know what those Jewish leaders did? They starved that nation from any water from the Word of God. And they put their traditions first and didn't give them anything to drink. They starved them. And so the Lord doesn't see any fruit there. When the prophets came and said, Hey, you need to get this stuff right. You need to start feeding my people. You need to start listening to my words. They didn't listen. They killed them. They killed the prophets. Go to Isaiah 53. Now look at this. Isaiah 53, and then we're almost done. Isaiah 53. Look at what the Lord does here. Even in a dry land with no water. Hey, God hasn't spoken to that nation in 400 years. It's got to be dry. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Jesus was here on this earth. He sprung forth as a root and out of dry ground. Israel's tree is withered, and the Lord curses it because there was no fruit there. You got no rain, you got no fruit. Hope you're saved. Hope you have Jesus Christ as your root. I mean, if you don't get saved, you have no root, you'll have no fruit. And if you have no fruit, the axe is laid to the root. Chopped down and cast into a fire. Burns it up. We'll stop there and we'll go ahead and pray. Do we have any prayer requests?